I'm going to do today is I want to finish a talk that I started 2 weeks ago before I went off on holiday. And what I was talking about was how God loves you and how it is the absolute foundation of your whole life. This is what this is love is all about. I've got one more week to do after this and then we're done. And what I said from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was this, that whilst we normally use those verses to describe how we're supposed to love one another, actually they're the best description from Scripture about how God loves you. And when we're called in John 13, 35 to be a people who are known by what? Our love for one another. It is not the love that is generated by impulse in ourselves, human kind of love. It's the love of the Father in us, shed in our hearts and flowing out from us. And the point is, many Christians get fed up with God and fed up with other people because you operate, and I operate at times, in human love. Whether it's phileo or erotic love, eros, or whether it's storge love, whatever, if it's not the love of the Father, it is going to run out. And then we get frustrated because we say, well, listen, Lord, you know, I'm really trying my best, but these people do my head in. Anyone in church? You love everyone, you love spiffer, right there. And what my heart for this church is this, I want us to be known as a people of love. Because in the final analysis, what I said was this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, do you know what the final analysis is? It doesn't matter how smart you are, how clever you are, how many university degrees you have. It doesn't matter that you can lay your hands on the sick and they get well. Now listen to me. If it is not done from a heart of the Father's love, it's a clanging cymbal. Remember I got Wayne to do his cymbal solo, and it was magnificent. Awful. And this is what Paul wrote. He says in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a recap on a couple of weeks ago to set the scene. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, he says this, that first of all, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, agape, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, if I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And what he's saying is this, that the love of God and your calling to love people is superior to the sensational. No matter how great a speaker I am, no matter what rhetoric I use, it is no substitute for love. My oratory can move your emotions. I can move your mind and I could say something that will move you to tears, but only love will change your heart. The people in your life who are struggling today, the only thing that's going to change them is a revelation of Father's love. The only thing that's going to help you to change is a revelation of Father's love. And so what I said is this, we believe in the supernatural in this church. I'm excited for Wednesday. If you have a heart for the prophetic, if you've got a heart to see God move in real life, if you want to understand your calling to be a man and woman of power in the kingdom and not just a matter of talk, go and talk to Helen and get involved and let's start to pray and see people activated and released in this. But that is not what we want to be known for. Listen to me. Why? Because love is superior. I'm going to explain this in a minute. In verse 2, he says, if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. It's superior to the spectacular. And lastly, if you give everything you have, if you hang off the altar rails in church week after week, if you're the first one here, the last one out, killing yourself for Jesus, how are you? Oh, I'm just tired serving the Lord, brother. But I'm all right. If it doesn't come from love, it's not worth anything. I want to see all of those things. I want to see spectacular demonstrations of kingdom come. I want to see people pouring their lives into something more than them. You're not a compelling enough reason to live your life for at times, you know that. But the purpose of God in your life, to see the kingdom of God come, to be a man or woman who uses your time, your money, and your abilities, to see men and women and children brought into the kingdom, to see their destinies changed, that's a good purpose to live for. I want to see sacrificial living, but I want to see it from a heart that doesn't try to please God, but does it because you're already loved and pleased. God is pleased in you. We want to turn it around. That's why love is superior. Somebody said to me after the last talk, well, how can you say that? How can you say that? Well, here's the thing about gifts. Because there's tons of ministries today that are entirely based on boom, boom, boom. I'm not dissing it, but here's the thing that you need to understand. According to the Word of God, gifts are free. Supernatural gifts and flowing that way has got absolutely nothing to do with character. They're a gift of God. Do you understand that? God uses the most unqualified, most desperately dysfunctional people at times in the most incredibly powerful ways. And do you know what? It frustrates the life out of me. I'm not going to get God seriously. Let's just have a wee word here. You know, I feel like, you know, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, going, you know, I'm qualified in this way, I'm qualified in that way, and you choose to use numpty. Like, what? God, let's just have a wee word. But the Lord reminds me and says, you know what? He says, your calling as a son, as a daughter, and the gifts that flow supernaturally have got nothing to do with you or your character. They're my gifts that I dispense. So being used in a gift no way reflects the character of the person who is operating in the gift. The final authenticity of your walk with the Lord is what? By this they shall know that you're my disciples, by your love. Do you know what this world needs? When I was away in England last week, listening to even the stuff that's kicking off around this area, Castlereagh Street and kid hit with a hatchet and petrol bombs and all sorts of stuff. I just thought, again, we are called to be a people who demonstrate that the love of the Father will change the hardest, most bitter, and most angry of hearts. Because if nearly 20 years after a political agreement in this country, if we're still dealing with polarization, we're still dealing with entrenched sectarianism, and to be honest, we may have, I believe, a sticking plaster, which I absolutely think is fantastic. But we want to see people transform from the inside out, don't we? How's it going to happen? Judging them, pointing the finger at them, having some kind of crazy charismania going on, which doesn't act. No, they're going to change whenever they experience men and women of love. That's why I'm so excited about our project with Charter NI. You know, Penny and Diane and a number of other people have been going along week after week with our mums and tats, as we call it, TATS. It's going to be launching in this area. It's going to be brilliant in a number of weeks. Working with the local community here and working hand in glove in partnership with the people who are the influencers here. I'm really excited about the possibilities for that. Particularly as women connect and kids connect, and it gives us inroads into other projects to see what happens whenever in an area like this, which this week yet again has been broadcast all over the news for entirely the wrong reasons. But what happens, let me just think about it. Why has God placed us here, church? Why are you sitting here today in the Diamond in East Belfast? Why? Because they will know God through our love. Isn't that awesome? So that's what we're called for. So what I said, I'm only going to take about 15, 20 minutes this morning. And that's what I want you to be known for. That's what I want us to be known for. There's an authenticity in that which reflects the heart of the Father way beyond anything else. I want us, just to be absolutely clear, to be a people of power. I want to, when you come in here, like in worship this morning, where you experience the presence of God. You know that, you know, the songs that we lift up and an anointed worship leader, an anointed team, lifting up truth over your life, it changes you if you let it. If you're open, that truth will change you. If you stay close to it, it won't change you at all. You'll go out as cold as you came in. But if you're open, you'll see that God is here and he's at work. And what he's doing is he's developing deep in us a heart of love for one another and for this world. Because that's what this world needs. It doesn't need any more smart churches or clever churches. It doesn't need any more of that. It needs to encounter the Father's heart. And that's what this series has all been about. There's five fantastic positive things in 1 Corinthians 13 that come after the initial eight. Remember I said that what Paul does initially is he takes things and he defines them in terms of what they're not. He flips them on their head to give you a clearer understanding of what he's talking about. And then there comes five fantastic positives. And let's go back and we'll read all of 1 Corinthians again. If you would put that up for now, that'd be great. So here we go. After three. 1 Corinthians, first one. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy and it doesn't boast. It's not arrogant or it's not rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. This is the positives we're talking about. It endures all things. Love never ends. And it goes on to say that things will pass away and there's hope and faith and all sorts of these things. But the greatest thing is love. Hey, Gene. Gene's just bragging. So love rejoices, number one, with the truth. The word, it says here, love rejoices with truth. What is Paul saying here? This is a great word. The word rejoice here in Greek means to identify with. And what it means is that it shares the love that God has for you this morning. Listen to me. It's a mutual love where two people get to rejoice and together participate in favor and in grace. So what it means is this. Let me ask you the other way around. What do you believe about yourself? There's a huge conflict today in the life of believers as to what God really believes about them. What does God really think about me? Not just when I'm doing really well, but how does God feel about me whenever I screw up and whenever I mess up? I mean, what happens to God's love then? Because for most believers that I come across, and also in my own life, whenever I get it wrong, I have such a crisis in me at times to go, God, could it still be true that you still love me? Is it really true that your promise is still right over my life? Because deep in my heart, I see that there's layers of performance-driven Christianity still. My faith is conditional at times, and his love is conditional, even in some of the deepest parts of my heart. And I hear this verse, where the love of God, it's hard for me to say, the love of God rejoices with truth. Now, what does that mean? What it means is this, that there's many things that try to define you. There's many things and many people who will tell you what you are and what you are not. Particularly in Northern Ireland, we like to keep people in their place, don't we? Don't you think too big of yourself, son? Aye, you're the big lad, aren't you? Be good, but don't be too good. See what it did there? You can do this, but you'll never achieve that. That might be possible for somebody else, but that's not for you. These lies and these words bombard us every day. They come from a number of sources. They come from the devil himself, the father of lies. They come from other people and they come from our conscience. But the point is this, that the love of God, whenever we encounter the love of God, and for you this morning, whenever you encounter the love of God in your life, what the Holy Spirit does is he rejoices with what is true. The word is aletheia. It's the same word that Jesus used to describe himself when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It was this same word, aletheia. And what he does is the love of the Father for you this morning rejoices in the Christ in you. So whatever Jesus says about you, whenever you experience the love of God, what it means is this, is that it lights up in you, it sparks in you the truth of Jesus in you. And it not just that it sparks it up, he rejoices. Do you know that it pleases the heart of Father this morning and the heart of Jesus himself? He is so pleased and he rejoices. His heart jumps whenever the truth of who he is seen in you. And so many of us get locked into, I've screwed up, I've messed up. Oh God, how can you ever think so much good of me whenever I do this? And actually the love of God every day, every minute, continually poured out, shed into your heart, is rejoicing with Jesus in you. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Well, what does that actually mean? Don't limit yourself by taking on the lies and the suggestions of other people or the devil himself. God is not happy with any other revelation or belief in your life other than the truth of Jesus. I love that. He doesn't let there be any other room. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I rejoice with that truth in you. It's pleasing to him. Close your eyes for a minute. Everybody. Vern. What I wanted to do this morning with your eyes closed, I'm going to read the truth of who you are this morning, according to the Word of God. Every sentence is a scripture. I'll have them on the website this week. But if you want to know who you are, and you want to know what the Lord is rejoicing in your life over this morning, this is the truth. The Word of God says in Jesus Christ that you are faithful. The Word of God says this morning that you are God's child. You have been justified. You are Christ's friend. This morning, you belong to God. You are a member of his body and his family. This morning you are assured that all things work together for good. You have been established, you have been anointed, and you've been sealed by God. You can be confident that God this morning will perfect the work that he has begun in you. You are a citizen, not just of this earth, but of heaven. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You are born of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. You are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. You have been chosen before the creation of the world. You are holy and you are blameless. You are adopted as his child. You have been given his glorious grace lavishly today and without any restriction. You are in him. You have redemption. You are forgiven. You have purpose. You have hope. You are included and you're not excluded. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit promised by God. You this morning are a saint. You are the salt and light of the earth. You have been chosen and God desires you to bear good fruit. You're a personal witness of Jesus Christ this morning. You're his co-worker. You're a minister of reconciliation. You are alive with Christ. You're raised up with Christ. You're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You have been shown the incomparable riches of God's grace. God expresses his kindness to you every day. Why? Because you're his workmanship. You've been brought near to God through Christ's blood. The Word of God says that you have peace. You have access to the Father. You are a member of God's household. You are secure. You're a holy temple. You're a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. You share in every promise of Christ Jesus today. You have God's power working through you. You can approach God this morning with freedom and with confidence. You know this morning that there is a purpose in every suffering. You can grasp this morning how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is Christ's love for you. You're completed by God. You can bring glory to God. You have been called by God. You can be humble, gentle, patient, and lovingly tolerant of other people. You can be spiritually mature. You can be certain that God's truth and the lifestyle to which he has called you to is good. You can have new attitudes and new lifestyles. You can be kind and compassionate to others. You can forgive others. You're a light to other people who can exhibit goodness, righteousness, and truth. You can understand God's will for your life. You can give thanks for everything in every situation. You don't always have to have your own agenda, but you can honor God through your marriage, through your relationships, through your children, through your church. If you're a parent, the Lord says this morning, you can parent your children with composure. Double blessing of that, Lord, please. You can be strong. You can have God's power. And you can stand firm in the day of evil. According to the Word of God this morning, you're dead to sin. You're not alone. You are growing. You're his disciple. This morning, Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, is praying for you and interceding for you himself. You're united with other believers and you're not in want. You have the mind of Christ. You've been promised eternal life. You've been promised a full life. You are victorious this morning. Your heart and your mind are protected with the peace of God. You are chosen and dearly loved. You are blameless. You've been set free when you were crucified with Christ to become a light for the world. You are more than a conqueror. You are the righteousness of God. You are safe. You are a part of God's kingdom. You're not excluded or on the outside. You're healed from every sin. You're healed from every sickness. You're no longer condemned. You're no longer helpless. You are an overcomer. You can persevere. You are protected. You are born again as a new creation. You are delivered. You are redeemed from the curse of the law. You are qualified to share in his inheritance. And this morning, Christ Jesus says over you, you are victorious. Praise God, that is the truth. Isn't that awesome? Thanks, Vernon. Isn't that awesome? You see, the love of God, whenever you receive the love of God, lights up those things in your life. He rejoices with every one of those truths. You can download them from tomorrow on the website. But I want you to understand that whenever you fill your heart and your mind with aletheia, with Jesus and his truth, you give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to light that up in you. You know, the Holy Spirit guides you in truth. And what I think about that is you need to fill your head and your heart with truth in order that he guides you in it. I find time and time again the Holy Spirit will come to me and will speak to me, particularly in my minutes and my moments of want, and he'll remind me of the truth that I've read. And he says, I'm rejoicing, not with your failure, but with the truth of Jesus in you. Isn't that amazing the way God loves you? Every minute of every day, every moment, reinforcing that this is who you are. This is the truth. All those voices that tell you something different, they are lies. Do not listen and do not give partnership to negativity or to cynicism in your life or anybody else's, because the same Holy Spirit that lives in you rejoices in this truth in somebody else. Now, would not change a city and a nation? He rejoices in the truth. I thank God this morning that when the Holy Spirit looks at me, he rejoices with all of those promises over my life. And he does it for you too, because that's how he loves you. This is love. He then goes on to say that love bears all things. The phrase bears all things is brilliant. It comes from a Greek word meaning to cover something, okay? And it's related to a word which means a roof or a covering. It talks about protection from hostile elements. So when it says that God's love for you this morning bears all things, what it means is this, that the love of God in your life protects you from the hostile elements that come against you. Now, there's another sense in this as well. In 1 Peter 4:8, it says that the love of God, love covers a multitude of sins. It covers over those times when we mess up. It covers over those things that are deep in our hearts that we still have not brought into the light and let the Lord deal with. And precisely the meaning here is that whenever you love God, whenever you experience the love of God, there is a protection that comes. Okay? In love bearing all things, what it means is this, that the love of God does not just cover up. It covers over. Many of us want God to cover up the things that we get wrong, don't we? Let's just pretend, God, let's just cover that one up. That's not what bears all things means. What it means is it covers over. It's not the same as covering up. Because whenever the Lord loves you, and in your moments of weakness and in need, what he does is he doesn't expose you to shame and embarrassment and to guilt, because that's not the heart of the Father. He protects you and he covers you, and he pours love and grace into you to be changed. And many times, sometimes we don't want what's in our heart to come out, even to God, because we're afraid that we'll be exposed. Isn't that right? What would happen if they really knew what I thought about them? Well, what would happen if they knew what I had looked at this week or what I had said to somebody else? What would happen if? And sometimes there's a fear, even with God, that God, if I really let you in, or if what's really in my heart, if I was even to talk to you about that, that actually that I would be exposed in a way. And I want to tell you, the Lord will not cover up your sin, because he can look at it square and he's not afraid of your sin. He's not afraid of your mess because it's dealt with. But he will cover over for you. What I'm trying to say is the loving Father, the Holy Spirit of God, doesn't seek to bring shame and guilt to his children. From hostile elements, he puts a cover over you so that in that place of safety and protection, you can be changed. I want you to bring some of your stuff to the Lord this week and know that the love of God bears all things in your life. I love that. Don't be afraid that actually, Lord, if exposing my heart to you, because he knows it anyway, that it's going to lead to some kind of catastrophic failure and catastrophic, you know. Remember in the Brethren, they used to say, what would happen, brother, if all your thoughts were put on a big screen in Chichester Street. And the 4A bus people could walk past it. And the driver would stop and say, that's Wayne Mulholland. And you used to absolutely yourself and go, oh, God. And I used to walk into all the brethren meeting and say, God, forgive me, everything I've ever done and ever said, God, forgive me. My heart is clean. And you just used to, yeah, as a 10-year-old, petrified. The love of God is a covering. He's a covering. Not to cover up, but to cover over. To provide a place of safety and protection and love in order that those things that are in your heart that hold you back can be dealt with appropriately. I love that. He bears all things. In that, because I never tire of repeating that people will tend to become what you believe them to be. They'll either live up or down to our expectations. If you treat a man as trustworthy, he'll strive to prove himself as worthy of your trust. And that's what it's about. God protects. He calls out the good. He calls out who you are. And he gives you a place of safety and protection to change. Do not ever think, God, I can't open my heart fully to you. I can't be really honest about what's on here because I don't want to be exposed. Bring it into the light with the Lord. And if you need to bring it into the light with other people, do that. Because the love of God protects. There's lots of ways that works itself out in relationships as well, but I don't have time. It goes on there to say, now, love believes all things. Number three, I love this. Love is always ready to allow for extenuating circumstances, I've written here. It always gives the benefit of the doubt. It always believes the best about people. Many of us distrust other people because of negative experiences. And some of us actually don't trust God that much. But that's why it's so important that we have the love of God poured into our hearts. Why, before anything else, we understand that we are loved. Why? Because God always trusts. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you're a chosen race, he says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What God has sent to you this morning is, he trusts you. Some of us just need to know that. You know, sometimes whenever I fail, but it's not that often. Gee whiz. I think, God, can you really trust me? When I think about ministry, I think about church, I think about all that. God, can you really trust me? And sometimes we battle that one on the inside because we count ourselves as inferior or not good enough. Why? Because we messed up time and time again. And God says this morning, listen to this, I trust you. Some of you need to hear that. I have called you, he says. I have chosen you. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation because of what you've done. No, because of what he has done this morning. And so for some of you this morning, I think you need to understand that the love of the Father means that time and time again, he will reveal to you that you have been trusted with all of heaven in your hands. So go use it. Go use it. You're trusted by God. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. I love this. Love has a positive forward look. Love never gives up on people. God's love, what he's suggesting is this, that he refuses to take your failure as final and done. Love hopes all things. I love way back in the early 80s when I was but a nipper. We used to sing a song in the fellowship days, The Steadfast Love of the Lord Never Ceases, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And I love those verses. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Every morning they are new. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Lamentations 3. Beautiful, beautiful verses. And that's what Paul's writing here. The love of God says to you this morning that he expects the best over you every day. He never loses faith in you. You may lose faith in yourself. You may lose faith in other people. You may give up on them. And you may not remain faithful to them. But God, despite of your shortcomings this morning, always expects the best for you. He never gives up. Isn't that amazing? He always has a positive outlook when he looks at you. You know, you may look at yourself and look at other people and go, God, I've given up. You know, if you have given up on you or other people, you need to get before the Lord. If you have cynicism and hardness in your heart, if you have judgment in your heart and you have written people off in your life, even written people off in this church, then I'm going to encourage you today, get before the Lord and ask him to shed his love again abroad in your heart. Why? Because the love of God never gives up and never accepts that failure is final. We write people off all the time, don't we? And we say, well, they've had their chance. They might have had two chances, three chances, four chances. I heard this, I heard that. I'm not sure about this, about that. And in our minds, what happens is our coldness comes in. And there's a separation comes in. But when the love of God is in your heart, what you'll find is that you will be a man or woman who says, I will never give up on you. I will be faithful to you even though you're not faithful to me. I will honor you and prefer you with the love of Father. Why? Because His love compels me to never give up. Why? Because He never gives up on me. Every morning He is faithful. Every morning He is true. His steadfast love is surrounding me and holding me and giving me a future. And I will, for all that I am worth, be a man or a woman who says every morning, God, help me to understand as you've never given up on me, I will not give up on the people around me. Why? Because that's the love of God that hopes all things. And my last point is this, that love endures all things. I love this. The word endures that Paul uses is a military term. And what it means is this. This is the last description of the love of God in 1 Corinthians 13. And he says this. It's a military term that says that even unto death, that God holds his position. Isn't that brilliant? If you need an illustration of how God loves you this morning, whatever it takes, love will not stop loving. Even in the face of your rejection, love takes action to shake up intolerable situations and takes a stance that says, I will never, ever give up on you. That is my stance, the Lord says this morning. I love that. It endures all things. It endures rejection. It endures heartache and failure. It endures all of the nastiness that's within us, and it takes up a position that says, I will never, never, at all costs, change my position on you. Oh, what a word. Man, that'll change your life. That'll change your life. What I love about this as well is there's a sense in this bit of the 1 Corinthians 13 where love, that kind of love, looks beyond the present to the hope of what might be in the future. What I mean is this. God just doesn't take a position in your life that says, come hell or high water, I'm not changing my mind on you. I will endure everything that you throw at me, and even unto death, Jesus on the cross, I will not change my commitment to you. Isn't that awesome? Why? Is that just kind of stubbornness? No, because he looks beyond where you are to see what you're called to be. So in the heart of the Father, it's always forward-looking. He says, I will endure everything today so that by the end of today or by tomorrow, you're a step closer to becoming who I made you to be. The heart of the Father is forward-looking, so he endures all things so that you become everything created. Isn't that awesome? Because the Lord's always looking past, not covering up, but covering over safety and protection so that you grow and develop and learn in safety and protection and become everything that God has called you for. He endures everything. Sometimes I think, God, I don't understand it. I don't understand even in my own life at times how you can look at the mess I can get myself into in my head and my heart. Not like you people who are so flippant spiritual that you floated in here on the cloud of glory this morning. But he says over you, now I will endure and I have endured even unto death. I have taken up my position, and I will never change. I will never change. This is love. He rejoices with those truths this morning. In the last number of verses, in the last six verses, Paul goes on again to talk about the temporary nature of spiritual gifts and the eternal nature of love. What he's basically saying is this, that all the gifts that you want to operate in, they're going to pass. What you do in love will never fail. And more importantly, you can prophesy over somebody and do all that, kind of, which is brilliant. It'll all pass. Gifts are temporal. Love is eternal. What you sow in love, you reap for eternity. That's why our foundation is love. Do you get that? We operate in our gifts because we have a heart of love. And what we operate in love lasts for eternity. So this is love. I want to encourage you today, this week. Next week I'm going to finish the series. But I want to encourage you this week to download those truths. That wee bit of Forrest Gump. That's all I could find this morning, seriously. So play that wee, lovely. And Adam McCullough came into the office this morning and said, are you looking for a wee emotional bit of music? And I was like, shut up. Yes, I was. And but allow the love of the Father to be shed into your heart this week. Take some time before anything else and say, Spirit of God, Spirit of, you light up the truth of who I am. Light up the truth in me that you're for me and you're good. And you have set a position in my life that will endure everything that I can throw at you because you love me. This is love. I promise you, you'll change. You'll see more of the power of God, the peace of God, and the love of God flow from you more accidentally than you'll ever decide on purpose. Because you are loved. Why don't you stand with me? This is what you do. You make me come around.